Send greetings of love to each one of you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to share together, to be together again this morning. Blessing to see all of you here. I'm going to introduce the message this morning with describing a little discussion that two young children were having about their parents. Children, you can listen. Maybe you've said things like this. One of the children said to the other one, "I just don't understand. First, they teach us to walk. They teach us to talk. As soon as we learn how to do those things, they tell us to sit down and be quiet." Any of you children ever feel that way? That's what parents are saying. Sometimes it may feel like that's a big part of life. And I guess in church, we practice that in church, don't we? We need to sit down and be quiet so we can listen and hear and learn. But children aren't always asked to sit down and be quiet. You know that, don't you? Many times you can run around and play and do other things. But this morning we're going to look into the Bible, and we're going to see a few places where the big people around Jesus wanted the children to sit down and be quiet so he can talk to the big people. But Jesus wanted the children to come to him so he could talk, hold them, and talk with them. The title of our message this morning is Jesus Loves the Children. And it will be focused largely on the children. See, when we say that Jesus loves the children, the corresponding truth with that is that people who love Jesus also love children, don't they? And you've heard this many times, but we'll say it again, that here in Dunmore East Christian Fellowship, we love children. Children are precious to us. Every child is a wonderful gift from God. It's a gift to the parents, the family, but also a gift to the whole church. Every child needs a family where they belong, and in turn, every family needs a church to which they belong and can be a part of. So we thank God for each other and for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. It's so sad that in today's world, children are often seen as a burden rather than a blessing. Someone has said that the most countercultural thing we can do is to have a large family. And you know how Peter writes how we need to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's in us? One way to get people to ask is to take your family to town, take them out, especially if you have 6, 8, or 10 children, and take them all along, and people sort of look and maybe ask if those are all yours. It's an opportunity to witness, isn't it? We have friends in Tennessee who recently had their 13th baby child. The children are still all at home, and they're helping with their produce farm and market. And so this morning, children, this message is especially for you and about you as children. You probably know that I love children. I'm always thinking about how you as children can get something from the Sunday morning message. If you remember last Sunday, Brother Kendall had a special exercise for the school children to follow along, help them follow along in the message, and that was wonderful. I love to see you children being included in this part of the service. So please try to follow along. And at the end, I'd like to have a story especially for you children yet. See, it's true, like I said, that in church is a place where you need to sit down and be quiet. There are those times, and that's so we can listen and learn about the Bible and about Jesus. So let's take a look at what Jesus did when people brought young children to him. You can be turning to Matthew chapter 19 for our first reading. We know that Jesus was a busy man. Thousands of people followed him, flocked to him to hear him speak, to hear his teachings. And then when he was so busy and so many people were coming to hear him, some parents had the nerve to push their way up through and bring their little children and try to bring them to Jesus. And what do you think happened when they did that? We'll read this in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So if you see what these parents wanted Jesus to do, what did they want him to do? It says, to put his hands on them and pray. And what did the parents, what did the disciples do? They were trying to stop them and said, Jesus doesn't have time for that. But here where it says little children, in the reading in Luke of this experience, it says that they brought their infants. That means their babies, bringing them up. And the disciples probably thought, Jesus does not have time for those little babies. He's got so much teaching. And look, there's thousands of people wanting him to talk to them. And so what did Jesus do? It says, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them." If they brought babies to Jesus and they wanted him to put his hands on them and pray, do you think it's something like we do when we bring a baby? Young parents have a little child, we bring them up and one of the ministers holds that child and prays for him or her. That's what we plan to do later on in this service this morning. You've seen that happen before. That's what Jesus did here. But let's read the other accounts as well. And as we read, I'd like to have you look for the answer to three questions. What did the parents do? Secondly, how did the disciples respond to these parents? And how did Jesus respond when he saw what the disciples were doing? Read them again. What did the parents want Jesus to do? Watch for that. And how did the disciples respond? And how did Jesus respond? Next, we'll turn to Mark's gospel. And that's in chapter 10. And we'd like to read that account as he records this incident with Jesus and the children. If you can, please stand for the reading of this scripture, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Just remain standing for the next reading as well, but I'd like to read this now in the new, just go over this again, read it in the New Living Translation. Just brings out a few different aspects of it. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Just look again at that verse 16. Can you picture in your minds what was happening? Little children crawling onto Jesus' lap, probably their arms around his neck, and he putting his hands out, maybe on their head, blessing them, praying for them. Isn't that an amazing picture of our Savior? And then if you think of the context of it, think of thousands of people out here waiting, come a long ways to hear Jesus teach, and here he's taking this time with these babies and little children. That shows us the heart of Jesus for children, doesn't it? Turn now to Luke chapter 18, and we'll read one more account here. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." You may be seated. So let's answer the three questions I mentioned earlier. What did the parents want Jesus to do for their children? What did the parents want? Someone want to answer that? Something that's mentioned over and over. They wanted Jesus to
bless them.
Pardon?
Bless them.
That's right. Touch them, pray for them, bless them. Several things there. But I notice especially that it says they wanted him to touch them. That's interesting, isn't it? Something about that, touching them. You know, often when we pray for someone who's a special prayer, maybe when they're leaving, we ask people around to put your hand on their shoulder. There's something about touching someone and praying for them that's powerful. And these parents wanted Jesus to do that for their children. So then how did the disciples respond? Were they happy to see that? No, in every case, they tried to push them back, to chase them away. He's a busy man. These big people, look at all these people waiting to hear Jesus talk. And you want him to take time with your little children? The disciples thought, that's a waste of time, like a lot of people would feel today, isn't it? And the third question, how did Jesus respond when these parents brought them and when he saw what the disciples were doing? You notice in the translation I read there, the NLT says that Jesus was angry. The reason it translated that way is because if you look up the Greek word when it says he was greatly displeased, that actually means he was upset. He was angry with them. So he became very emphatic. Stop doing that. I want the children. Pardon me?
He wasn't angry. He was upset.
Okay. Mistaken translation. Well, we won't quibble about that. He was very unhappy. Let's say it that way then. Okay. He was very unhappy with seeing the disciples turn the children back, because he wanted the children to come. To him, that was important. And maybe it's important to me to speak to the children when all you big people expected a deeper theological message, maybe. And here we're talking about children. So I think that Jesus would do that sometimes as well. Now, of course, he talked to the big people. We're not saying he did that all the time. He, of course, taught them a lot of things. But also when he was doing that, many times he did it, how? In stories. Stories. He told them, this sower went out to sow, and as he scattered his seed, and stories like that, the man built a house on the sand, and the rains came, and the house crashed down, and things that children could understand too. So even then, I think he had children in mind, tried to speak in a way that people could understand. Going back to this second point of the disciples thinking the big people were more important and not having time for the younger ones, I have a little story I'd like to share to illustrate the effects of reaching a young person with the gospel. How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham. Everybody, probably. How many of you have heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball. Nobody knows the name Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher in the 1800s, about 200 years ago. One of the boys in his class was a young man young boy named Dwight. When Dwight first came to Sunday school, he didn't know anything about the Bible. The teacher asked him to turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and Dwight turned to the very beginning of the Bible. He didn't know where John was, and the other students sort of laughed at him. But Edward Kimball was the teacher, and he didn't laugh. He opened his had his Bible open, he handed it to Dwight, and he said, "Here, read this." And Dwight never forgot that. It touched him that his teacher had compassion on him, and he was impressed with his kindness. So sometime later, Edward Kimball led Dwight to the Lord, helped him dedicate his life to the Lord. And yes, his surname was Moody, so this Dwight was actually D.L. Moody, who many of you have heard about. Probably the most influential evangelist in the 1800s. And so he became an evangelist, preached to thousands of people. One day, a young man by the name of Wilbur Chapman, you might have heard that name, responded to the invitation and gave his heart to the Lord. And he went on to become an evangelist, and he mentored a young man by the name of Billy Sunday. You've probably heard that name. Billy Sunday was actually a professional baseball player, but he became converted, became a Christian under Wilbur Chapman's teaching, and he became a powerful preacher of the gospel. So, get my notes here. And at one of the meetings where he was preaching, where Billy Sunday was preaching, and I don't know if you've ever seen, but he was a very powerful, emphatic preacher of the gospel, there was a man named Mordecai Ham, and he surrendered his life to Christ, and yes, he became an evangelist too. And in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, one day he was having meetings, and a young man named Billy Graham was converted under Mordecai Ham's preaching. And Billy Graham probably preached the gospel to more people than anyone else in the history of mankind, as far as we know. And we won't comment on his preaching. I know there's many different views in that, but he did preach the gospel. And I do expect that there will be people in heaven because of that. Now, I have a question for you. Who was responsible for reaching the most people? Edward Kimball or Billy Graham? Who was responsible? We can't really answer that, can we? Except that we know that Edward, through his faithfulness, helped D.L. Moody to come to the Lord. And D.L. Moody helped the next and the next. And you know what encourages me about a story like this? Most of us probably feel that we cannot preach like Billy Graham or D.L. Moody. And we're probably right. I know I can't. But you know what we can do? We can teach children. None of us knew the name of Edward Kimball. I didn't either until I studied this. But we can do what he did. We can be kind and compassionate, and show love to young children. We can take children under our arms. We can mentor them, pray for them, walk alongside them as they grow older. And as we're doing that, we're not just telling them stories. We're bringing them to Jesus. And that can have far-reaching effects. So this is an encouragement to all of us who have little children. All of you young people who work with children in any way, just take another look at Jesus and what he did with the children who were brought to him. Notice how he gave them his full attention. He took them up in his arms. He put his hands on them. He blessed them. And so as you look at the children in your circle, whether it's in your home or in your school or in the church, as you help mothers with children, look at what Jesus did and how he took time. We can be so busy with big people and big things and many important things, and there are other things to do, we know that. But may God help us to cherish the little ones whom God has entrusted into our care. May we take them up in our arms, bless them, pray for them, And as they grow older, keep reaching out to them and loving them and walking with them. Only God knows the far-reaching effect of one young soul who turns to Christ.